You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Come on, how we doing? The band told me before service, they said, you need to work on your dance moves like when you come out here. They're like, that isn't that good. It was real encouraging, wasn't it? You guys doing all right? All right, hey, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And while you're turning, second service, just a couple things real quick. I wanted to say thank you so much to everybody who helped out last night with the movie. If you don't know, we showed Star Wars The Force Awakens right here last night. It was so much fun. We had so many people here that don't normally go to our church or don't show up here. And man, that's what this is about, right? Man, just making a space and environment for Newton Reborn, for people to connect with God's people in unique ways. And so thank you so much for serving. Thank you so much for being a church that just gets it. Yeah? Man, I'm so proud of you guys. Hey, speaking of proud of you, man, just second service, I am proud of you for last Sunday. Last Sunday, we had just a little bit of a talk right before I preached the word about staying in our seats and about, you know, if we've got kids in here, really the best place for our kids is over there. And I want to say, man, last Sunday was like the most amazing Sunday we've had in second service in a long time where everybody just stayed seated and man, people were really able to connect with Jesus. And so that, man, I just want to thank you for that. And let's keep doing that together, right? Let's just make that the new normal where, man, because really this is the idea. People are showing up here. And man, we need to be able to connect with Jesus. We need to be able to focus on that. And sometimes if we're getting up or and I got nothing but grace, but if our kids are playing games or doing other things, we get more focused on those things than we do on what's actually going on. Does that make sense? Man, so I'm just proud of you. Thank you for doing that last week. And let's just keep doing it each weekend from now on. Amen? Amen. And if somebody's here that isn't hearing this and they're here next week and they're making trouble, you just get up and smack them. That was a joke. All right. We doing okay? All right. Here we go. All right. Don't smack anybody. Here we go. Week number two, asking for a friend. All right. This is the concept for this series. We all have big questions in life, about faith, about God, about the Bible, about topics that may be considered controversial, about things that we don't understand and maybe sometimes struggle with. And oftentimes we don't know who to ask, but come on, I hope we all agree. We need to be able to ask our questions in church. Right? And I really believe that the church has a responsibility to talk about real life and a responsibility to share what God really says, and then also a responsibility to do that with just sincere love and genuine grace. Amen? So before we get too far into today's topic, let me just give you a heads up for next week. Next Sunday, we are going to have a very loving and grace-filled conversation about divorce. Okay? There will be no shame in this room. Do you hear me? Okay, we received numerous questions about divorce. And honestly, come on, we know this. That is a topic that is literally touching all of our lives in one way or another. And so it's such a big deal for us to talk about and do so in such a grace-filled way. And look at, man, I'm telling you, God loves you. He loves everybody. Right? But he's got plans for us. And if you've been through that, I promise, it is not, your life is not over. And God hasn't considered your life over, okay? He is still a good God, amen? Amen. So I can't wait for next week. And for today, though, listen, I woke up happy. I woke up just kind of giddy. I mean, I practically danced my way out of bed this morning. There goes those dance moves again. You don't even want to see that. You don't want to see it in the morning either, I'll tell you. You already know this, but I am the whitest dancer you have ever met. I mean, yeah, I think they were making fun of my dance moves back there. I tried to do the floss just for a second back there, and I would do it right now, but it takes like 30 seconds for my brain just to communicate to my hips which side they need to go to first. It doesn't work. But I just danced out of bed this morning. I was so happy to get up this morning because of what we get to do today. Because of what we get to do, honestly, I feel this way every Sunday. How many of you have discovered the truth that church gets next level fun when you stop showing up for yourself? When you start showing up to help other people. And so I'm confident that the conversation we're going to have today, I really believe it's going to help. Okay, I'm serious. I've been praying for you all week. I'm excited for what we get to do today. I'm excited that I really believe that this conversation could lead to some new freedom and some new healing that some of us need to experience that we have not experienced yet, but that we desperately need. Okay, so I am proud of you. You made the right choice showing up this morning. So based on your questions or your friends' questions, however you want to look at it, we're going to dive into a conversation about the existence of evil. Okay, where does evil come from? What does it mean for our lives? And so this is what it ties into, though. It ties into that very famous question that we've probably all heard, but that we were definitely asked as a part of this. And it's the question, why do bad things happen to good people? How many of you guys have ever heard that question or wondered about that question before? Okay, it's a famous question, right? We're going to talk all about it. And then connected to that, we receive numerous questions about why do we experience and then how do we deal with the heartache and the abuse and maybe the pain and the trauma that we've received. And then how do we move forward with God after experiencing those things? So we're gonna talk all about that. You guys ready for this? Come on, you ready to get this, church? Come on, let's get it together, all right? Here we go. Let's just start right here with this question. Where does evil come from? Where does it come from? Now, let me just give you a heads up like I did last week. We are going to look to the Bible today for the answers. Okay, I promise you all the answers in life that you need for life are right here. Okay, and so here at the gathering, we look to God's word and God himself as our absolute authorities. We trust him. So let me just preface this whole conversation by saying this. If you're here today and you are absolutely opposed to the Bible, and if there's no room for you to budge on that, then you're probably not going to be able to receive or really hear anything that I have to share, okay? However, if you showed up today because there's at least something inside that's compelling you towards Jesus, okay, then I'm going to trust that there's at least something inside that's at the very least open to hearing what God has to say. And so listen to me, the Bible is not silent when it comes to evil. Okay, the Bible shows us very clearly what evil is, where it comes from, and the devastating effects it has on all of God's creation. Okay, because you see, there is a bit of a movement that's begun lately. It's really an evolutionary movement where people are beginning to say things like, well, there's no such thing as evil. Now, this is becoming rather popular among some well-known atheists. They're saying things like, well, there's no such thing as evil. There's no such thing as good. There's only survival of the fittest. Okay, let me show you how quickly that argument breaks down, though, okay? If you believe that evil does not exist, I guarantee you will start believing that evil exists the instant someone punches you in the face. Your eyes are instantly going to get all watery. What are you going to be holding your eye and being like, oh, it's okay. That's just survival of the fittest. Oh, you sir, are surviving. Good job. No, I suppose as long as you find yourself on the winning side of survival, then maybe you can believe that there's no evil. But listen to me, the instant you find yourself experiencing pain because other people are getting what they want in life at your expense, you're going to start believing in evil. So listen, evil exists. We know that, don't we? Rachel's family, my wife Rachel, her family years ago adopted a family member into their family, and her family adopted them. It was really her grandparents when he was just a toddler, but they came to find out that before he had been adopted as a toddler, that his birth mom had been leaving him locked in a closet for weekends at a time while she would disappear. Okay, that's not survival of the fittest. That's evil. Okay, evil exists. So why would anyone even entertain the idea that evil doesn't exist? Okay, that answer is simple. If we can somehow convince ourselves that there's no such thing as evil, then we can somehow try to excuse ourselves from ever having to take personal responsibility for all of the evil we've committed. All right, which leads us back to our question. Where does evil come from? You ready for this? It comes from people. All the people. It comes from you and me. Okay, let me say it this way. Evil comes from created beings. Okay, evil happens when God's creatures, angelic beings and human beings, when they decide to live their life their way rather than the Creator's way. Because friends, listen, that's called rebellion. And rebellion is called sin. And sin, listen, is the very nature. Sin itself is the very nature or the essence of evil. Well, now, hold on, Pastor. I mean, I sin every once in a while, but I don't do anything evil. I mean, I know I might tell a white lie every now and again, but that's just sin. That's not evil. Or I know I might tear that person down with my words, but I know I might look at pornography every now and again, but that's just sin. That's not evil. Says who? Does the Creator agree with that perspective? And just for example, listen, I shared very personally last week about my own past and struggles with things like pornography. And I think we got a glimpse of just how evil it is. So family, sin, all of it is evil. Okay, yes, there were angels that committed evil, that sinned before humans ever did. And yes, Satan tempted Adam and Eve to sin. But you got to see this. He did not make them do it. Okay, they made the choice to sin. Because you see, in love, God, the Creator, the King, the one who's in charge of it all, the one who has rightful authority over all things, because he created all things. Would we agree that the Creator has the rightful authority over all things? Right, okay. In love, he created people, you and me, in his image. To be like him, to live life like him, to love like him. And so part of being like God is then having the ability to make choices the same way God does. God has given us a free will. And watch this, I know you know this. Love is not a feeling, love is it's a choice, right? And so follow me, okay? I want you to make a mental note of this, all right? We'll come back to it. Do you remember what God said right after he finished creating everything? Right after he finished creating the whole world, right after he finished creating mankind and he had given them a free will, he looked at all of his creation and he said, it is very good, right? Somebody say bam. That's not bad, man. That might be in the Message Bible or something. I don't know. It is very good, right? And so then in love, God, the Creator, said to the people that he had created, he said, you can choose to eat from any of the trees in this garden. Just don't make the choice to eat from this one tree over here. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? He says, because if you eat from that tree, if you make that choice, if you disobey me, if you choose to sin, you will die. And in essence, he's saying, I love you so much and I don't want you to die. So church, listen, we know this. It wasn't the fruit itself that caused them to begin to die. It was the unloving choice that they made to disobey God that caused death to enter into God's perfect creation. In other words, disobedience is the same thing as rebellion, and rebellion is not love, it is evil. Rebellion is making the choice to oppose, okay? And so when you rebel against God's ways, you are actually opposing God. And when you oppose God, you're actually cutting yourself off from relationship with God. And when you cut yourself off from relationship with God, who is the source of life, you then begin to die. Our sin separates us from God, and our sin therefore causes death. Sin is an act of rebellion, and so sin, all of it, is evil. So think about it. At the root of it all, sin is when you and I, the created beings, it's when you and I are saying to the Creator, we think we know what's right and wrong better than you do. We think our choices and the way we want to do things, that's a better way than your way. Honestly, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but sin at the root of it all is you and I saying, we want to be God. I know that probably hasn't crossed your mind, but at the root of it, that's what we're doing. We're saying, you know what? I'm going to be God in this situation. Okay, that is not love. That's evil. And if that's not the truth, then why does Jesus say in John 14, 15, come on, you know this. He says, if you love me, obey. Obey my commandments. All right, so church, you've got to see this. So remember our mental note we just made? So mankind went from being called very good by God, to opposing God, which was evil. And because it was evil, it made mankind no longer good. Now, I know some of us don't like that thought, but family, apart from Jesus, that is the human condition. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So listen, I say this with so much grace to those who ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Again, it's a very common question, okay? But I want to help you shift your perspective today, okay? In fact, get pumped. Because I'm telling you, if you can grasp this truth that we're going to talk about today, if you can grasp this, this is a truth that the world does not grasp. It refuses to get this. So I'm telling you, if you can grasp this truth, you can have an advantage. And I'm telling you, this perspective shift has the power to change your life to where you don't have to live like a victim anymore. To where you don't have to live life ineffectively in any way anymore. This has the power to change you to where you can live life effectively to the fullest with Jesus. You can be a leader, church. You can help other people. Okay, you ready? Watch that question. Why do bad things happen to good people? It makes a false assumption. And it also strongly hints towards a false implication. Okay, but let's start with the false assumption, okay? Stick with me. Why do bad things happen to good people? It assumes that there are actually people out there in the world that are actually good. That question, it makes the assumption that there are people out there like you and me that are actually good when no, we are not. Okay, now listen, don't get discouraged on me, okay? Don't get offended by that. I know people do not want to get this today, but friends, we have to get this. We are not good. Okay, I am not good. I need you to get this truth today. You are not good, and that doesn't mean that I don't like you. That doesn't mean that God doesn't like you. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love you. No, he loves you, but that doesn't mean you're good, okay? But I'm telling you, don't get discouraged. I know that could sound discouraging, but get encouraged because get stoked. There is something powerful and even encouraging for our lives when we can embrace this truth. Just follow me, okay? Because this is our mindset. We know this. We tend to think, well, but I'm not so bad. I mean, I'm a good person. And I get it. Look, nobody wants to dwell on the fact that at our core, we are all utterly sinful and we deserve hell, okay? I know that is not fun for anyone to dwell on, but friends, if that's not the truth, then why did Jesus have to come and die for us? If that's not the truth, then why are we the ones that need a Savior? Okay, but here's why you should be encouraged. Because that just shows how much God loves you. In spite of who you are, in spite of who you've been, in spite of what you've done, he loves you. While we were still sinners, Christ came to die for us. But look, we fall into this trap of thinking that we're actually good. Part of the reason is because we're actually so sinful, we have a short-term memory when it comes to our sin. I mean, we forget about half the stuff we've done. We just go on like, I'm good. We fall into the trap of thinking we're actually good people because we're actually so sinful, we fail to grasp just how much of an impact our sin actually has on our lives and on the lives of people around us and even on all of God's creation. Family, our sin has a ripple effect. And it's powerful. There are smart Bible people that have looked into this, okay? Just watch. Let's just take a hurtful word, for example. Let's just say you say a hurtful word to one of your coworkers one day, okay? But then you don't see the full impact that it might have on their lives. And so maybe you don't realize this, but it changed the way they felt that day. Maybe on the inside, it caused them to have a bad day at work. And so then they go home to their kids and their spouse, and they treat them differently now based on the bad day they just had. And now the spouse and the kids have been impacted, and maybe they're feeling down now about it. And so maybe they go and take that out on somebody else or treat somebody differently because of what they just experienced. And then those people treat somebody differently because of what they just experienced, and on and on and on. Okay, some of you think I'm exaggerating, but just think about this. All Adam and Eve did was make the decision to eat some fruit. And look at the condition we are in right now. There is a ripple effect. We went from being called very good by God to watch what God's word says about us in Jeremiah 17:9. Watch this. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things. I wonder if that means the most of all. And desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Nah, but we're good, right? We're good, right? I mean, surely that's a printing error. That was just in my Bible, not in yours. I mean, who published this thing, right? No, come on. Come on, if people are really good, then why is it, take for example, when a hurricane strikes a city and all the power goes out for a few days, why is it that they automatically implement a curfew? Why do they do that? Is it because they're worried that, you know, once it gets really dark and all the power's out, are they worried that all the people are going to come out and get together to do some nighttime gardening? Yay, the power's out. This is our opportunity. Let's get together and plant a community garden. Are they worried that the people are finally going to rally together and say, this is our time to clean up all the trash in the streets? No. It's because time and time and time again, they've seen, given the opportunity, and when in situations like this, when it's dark, and maybe even when it's not dark, the worst comes out in people. And so listen to me, if the worst can come out in people, then that means that the worst is already inside of them. And so what we find in situations like that is, man, you find looting and riots and gang violence and murder and rape. You say, well, that's just some people. Only some people do that. Do you know how many people have taken the witness stand in murder trials over the years where they've known the person accused of murder and they've made a statement similar to this? I never would have thought in a million years that that person was capable of this. I always thought they were just the nicest person. Okay, look, I know there are genuinely nice people out there. There really are, okay? And I know we like to think that people are good, but the truth is, all people are sinful, okay? So, church, I'm just going to be real about myself, okay? I like to think I'm a good person. Just being honest. I think I'm nice. I do. I think I'm a good husband. I think I'm a good dad. I know I'm not perfect, but I think I'm pretty good. And even now as I say this, I can hear the pride coming out, and that means I got something to work on, right? Okay, but if I really want to stop and reflect, I don't have to think too hard to remember things that I've done in my life that I'm absolutely ashamed of. Things that I'm deeply embarrassed about. Things that would not be appropriate to talk about from this platform. And I've been very open. I shared last week about my past and pornography and that stuff, okay? Which that would normally be a very embarrassing thing to admit to a large group of people, right? So I'm saying there are things in my life I'm embarrassed about. Things that I am ashamed of. Things that I have done to other people and said to other people that were evil. That's not fun to admit, but it doesn't mean it's not true. And so then there's just everyday life. And sometimes I'm surprised by just how bad my words and my actions and my thoughts can be. And then what's worse is sometimes I'm not surprised by how bad that stuff can be. Okay, look, I guarantee I don't realize how sinful I just am. I know I'm that sinful to where I don't realize how sinful I just am, but I know I'm bad, okay? And so, like, Pastor Greg, I do accountability with Pastor Greg, and there's a couple other people as well. I tell them on a regular basis, I say, I'm bad. You need to know that. You need to know in advance that I am capable of sinful things. Okay, I need people to know that. And listen to me, I have to be able to own that too. I have to own that too. If I won't own that, if I won't embrace that, then listen, the thought or the idea of being able to overcome more and more sin in my life, it ain't gonna happen. Okay, we have to embrace the truth about who we really are. And so here's the good news. Here's the really encouraging news. When you get this perspective shift, then I'm telling you, the sins you're stuck in or the things that you're dealing with, they can be overcome by God in your life when you'll embrace the truth and turn to Him. It can happen. And it's not because, listen, me overcoming sin isn't because I'm good or because I can actually do something. It's because of God's goodness and His grace working in my life. You can have the same thing. But we need that perspective shift. God is good. And so, as I mentioned a minute ago, okay, there's also a false implication made by that question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Okay, if you just think about it, that question is actually implying the idea that, well, if God is good, then why does He allow bad things to happen to good people? You seeing that? I mean, listen, come on. It actually implies either one, that God is therefore not good, or it implies two, if He is good, He sure does seem to be sitting by as injustice after injustice keeps taking place to all these good people, which if that's the case, then that would not be good of Him. That would be bad, which would then make Him bad. Okay, but listen to me. Both of those implications are wildly false. And so, what I'm saying with so much grace, but it's just going to be really to the point, okay? If you are struggling right now, and nothing but grace, but if you're struggling right now to believe in the goodness of God because of some bad things that you've experienced or maybe some bad things that people you know have experienced, then I would say you probably have not yet grasped the reality of the cross. Okay, friends, there's only one real answer to this question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Listen, I did not come up with this on my own. I heard another pastor say this a couple of years ago. But listen, here's the answer to that question. Why do bad things happen to good people? That has only ever happened one time, and He volunteered for it. His name is Jesus. Okay, He's the one who came and took the punishment and the death that we deserve. He paid the price for all of humanity's evil, all of humanity's sin, including ours, which then also means that God is not sitting this one out. He's not letting injustice after injustice take place. No, though He did not have to, He nonetheless, the sinless God, He stepped in. He took personal responsibility for all of our evil, for all of our sin by dying for it. So that if you and I will repent, if we'll turn from our rebellious and evil ways and turn to God, so that we can actually receive the forgiveness and the life and the healing He has for us, so that we won't have to die the eternal death we actually deserve. So friends, by definition, watch this. Forgiveness is when you give someone precisely what they do not deserve. That's forgiveness, okay? That's what God wants and can give to you. He can give you that forgiveness. He wants to. He can also give you a brand new heart, a heart that actually wants to love God, a heart that wants to obey God. He can give you hope. In spite of all the bad things that have happened to you, He can give you hope. He can give you healing for all the bad things that have happened to you and even for the bad things that you have done to others as well. He can give you that perspective shift so that you can actually see your sin and the sins of others for what they really are. He can give you life and joy and peace. He can give you that in this life, and He wants to give you heaven in the life to come, and not because you or I have been good and deserve it, but because He is good, He loves us, and He does not want you to die. So really, in light of that, the better question we should be asking is, why do good things happen to bad people? Come on. Why do good things happen to bad people? That's a better description of my life. Come on, that is a better description of every person I know who has genuinely repented and turned to Jesus. Come on, why do good things happen to bad people? Only because of God's grace. That's it. Man, and the people that I know, come on, man, that's a good description of the people I know who've repented, who've turned to God, who have then received that free and that loving, that mind-blowing, forever life-changing forgiveness and goodness that God gives. So God is not sitting this one out. No, he has made a way. And look, yes, okay, look, bad things do happen to people. Okay, and I know some of you have experienced some bad things. Hey, listen, I'm sorry. I really am. Actually, I want to say that one more time. Some of you need to hear that from somebody who really actually cares about you. Listen to me, I'm sorry. I really am. I know that there are people in here that have had things happen to them or have experienced things that were evil, that were terrible, that were not right and that should not have happened but have nonetheless happened. I really am sorry. Okay, I'm not making an excuse for that. I want us to see this, okay? Those things didn't happen, though, because God wanted them to happen. Okay? Bad things happen to people now, okay? Because, listen, because of all of our sinful choices combined have caused us now, we live in a sin-filled, fallen, and cursed world where bad things happen to people. Okay? But it doesn't mean Jesus is sitting it out. He's making a way. He loves you. He has life for you. And Jesus never promised that we would be free of pain in this life. But again, I'm telling you, he promised to be with us. He promised to help us. Watch this. This is John 16:33. He's telling his disciples, he says, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. So it's going to happen. But take heart. Get encouraged, Christians. Get encouraged, Jesus followers. He says, because I have overcome the world. He's saying, church, this life is going to be full of pain and challenges, but don't get discouraged. He says, because I'll be with you and I've overcome it all. And with me in your life, you can too. Family, you don't have to be a victim anymore. You can overcome. You can have the advantage. You can lead. You can live life effectively to the fullest with Jesus. And what about this? You want the biggest advantage that any sinner could ever have living in a sin-filled, fallen, and cursed world? Watch this. You got your Bibles open to Romans 8 still? Whew. Romans 8. I'm going to read verse 28. Here we go. It says, and we know that God causes, what's he cause? Everything. Everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I wonder if everything includes all the good things that happen to you and all the bad things that happen to you. Yes, all the bad things that happen to you too, because our God is that good and he's able to do so. He can use it all. So look, I'm not pretending that I've been through what you've been through. I'm not pretending that I've experienced all the same pain that you have. But I do know what it's like to have lifelong friends betray me and then accuse me of things that I have not done. I know what it's like to pour into people and invest in their lives and love them unconditionally and walk beside them in the midst of heartache and pain and for them to then walk away like it meant nothing. I know what it's like to feel violated both physically and emotionally. I know what it's like to feel absolutely lonely and purposeless in life. I know what it's like to have serious regrets for things that I've done. And serious regrets for things that I did not do, that I should have done. Again, I know what guilt and shame feels like. And I know what it's like in the midst of then trying to come to terms with my own sinfulness. I know what it's like to wonder and question, how could God really love me? I know he loves all these other people. How could he love me? I know what that's like. But listen to me. I also then know what it's like to turn to God with genuine sorrow and with an attitude of repentance and receive forgiveness for all the evil I've ever done, and to then receive genuine, undeniable love in spite of it all. I know what it's like to run to God in the midst of tremendous heartache and pain, and for him to draw me close and wrap me up, say, it's okay. I got you. This doesn't define you. This isn't the moment you're going to live the rest of your life in. But we could keep going. You look to me, I love you no matter what. And I got you. I got your life right now, and I've got a future for you. You stick with me, Brandon. We're going to get this together. So the family, listen to me. By the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, I then also know what it's like to stick with God in obedience and love long enough, okay, over time, so that then I could actually see the results of him taking everything that has happened to me and everything that is happening to me and then working it together for my good and the purpose for which he's called me to. I've stuck with him to where I can see it. You see, sometimes I think some of us, we give up on love and obedience to God quickly when we don't see our breakthrough happen overnight. Listen, can God do an instant miracle? Yes, he can. And I promise, you turn to him and you start following him, you will start to see some miracles. I mean, keep your eyes open. But I keep discovering that, listen, while his love and his grace and his forgiveness are given immediately, I keep discovering that many of my breakthroughs keep happening bit by bit over time as God continues to work. As he takes everything that happened to me in the past, as he's taking everything that's happening right now, and he starts cooking up something good. He starts working it for my good and for the purpose that he's called me to. Some of you feel stuck in your pain right now. I wonder if it's perhaps because you haven't stuck it out with God long enough to watch him take that pain and turn it into purpose. Perhaps you haven't stuck with obedience and love for God long enough to watch him take all the bad things that have happened to you and use those things to make you stronger so that you now have something better to give to others. I'm not making light of what happened to you. Okay, and there were a few questions that we received that broke my heart. Okay, there were a few of them that mentioned the abuse. So you guys, some people in here wrote about the abuse they experienced, and followed by a question along these lines, but how do I move forward with God now after experiencing this? That's a valid question. Okay, so my heart is to help. All right, so family, what if we take that same question, how do I move forward with God after experiencing this? What if we ask that same question, but we ask it in just a slightly different way so that it might be able to help just a little bit? Okay, what if we together today, we ask this question, that question, we ask it this way. How should we respond to evil? How should we respond to the evil we've received, and yes, even the evil that we've committed? How do we do that? Hey, listen to me. How do we do that, church? right here. The same way God does. The same way. Okay, I want you to listen to me. God loves you no matter what. He loves you. And I want you to open your heart to this, okay? He did not want that sin that happened against you. He didn't want it to happen against you. And for all of us who have sinned and hurt others, that's everybody, he did not want for us to do those things. Okay, but nonetheless, listen, for those of you that have been abused or you are experiencing tremendous heartache or pain or you've been through trauma, you also need to know, listen, God's not blaming you for what happened. Okay, and then he's also, listen, he is not looking at you now like you're somehow damaged goods that can't be fully loved or fully used in this life. No, he loves you. You are not damaged goods. Come on, that is garbage straight from the mouth of Satan. He is a liar. Satan would love to convince you that the abuse that you've received or the pain that you've received is either God's fault. He'd love for you to blame God. He would also love for you to blame yourself. He would love for you to think that it's your fault as well. Either way, here is his sick motive. He wants to keep you from responding to evil the way God does so that you won't turn to God, so that you won't receive the life and the love and the healing and the purpose that God has for you. I'm telling you, your God-given purpose scares the pants off of Satan. You were created in the image of God. He is doing everything he can to desperately try to thwart that. Okay, in fact, here's what he does, okay? Satan tries to get other people to join him in committing evil against you. He wants to debilitate you, but then even after it happens, he is so evil, he will try to get you to blame yourself and blame God for the evil that he thought up. And then, here's what he wants to do. He wants to finish you off by convincing you that you could never forgive those people who actually carried out the evil against you. That's a lie. Listen, so I know it can feel like sometimes, man, there's just no winning, but I'm telling you, with God, all Satan and all his garbage, all of his lies can be defeated in your life. Here is how: by responding to evil the way God does. By responding the way Jesus, let's think about Jesus, he's up on the cross. Maybe the most evil moment, the most evil moment in all of human history. He's taking it all the evil, taking it upon himself. He's up on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them. Come on, this is the perspective shift that some of us need. So what should our response to evil be? Well, listen, it's not to deny that evil exists. And it's our response is not to somehow question that God, is he really good or not? That's not the response. Our response is not to think that God is somehow sitting this one out or he's not playing his part. And listen, our response is not to play the victim card. Okay, that's what Satan wants for you. If Satan can get you to remain a victim, then he'll keep you in a downward cycle where the resentment and the bitterness and the pain and the sin never stops. It's just gonna be a continuous cycle. That's what he wants. But your God is not a victim. He is the volunteer. That's who he is. He volunteered to take care of the pain and the sin, to step in so that you can have life and healing. I'm telling you, with him, you can have it all. You can overcome too. So what should our response to evil be as God's kids? Listen, the answer is simple, okay? It's repentance and it's forgiveness in all of its forms. Listen to me. You begin to step into the steps of repentance and forgiveness in all of its forms. I'm talking where asking God for forgiveness, asking others for forgiveness, and forgiving those who have sinned against you. Oh, I'm telling you, you will begin to step into the life and the healing and the freedom and the purpose that God has for you now. Family, we need to repent of our own evil. We need to turn to God, which, by the way, that is a loving choice that we can make in obedience to God. And we need to ask for forgiveness from God, and we need to ask for forgiveness from those people that we have sinned against. And then, what else should our response be? Listen, like Jesus, like God, we need to forgive those who've done evil against us, just like God forgives all of the evil we have done. church, why do bad things happen to good people? Listen to me, with so much grace, but I think that's actually a question that people often ask, and it comes from a heart that has not yet discovered the joy and the freedom found in personal repentance and in forgiveness of all of its forms. And we need a heart that's going to grasp the fact that God loves to give goodness, his goodness, to people who don't deserve it. And just like him, we can too. Forgiveness is the act of giving other people precisely what they don't deserve. So I wonder if what if the most important questions we could be asking today are, what would happen in my life if I repented, ask God for forgiveness, if I went to those people that I need to ask for forgiveness from, if I asked for forgiveness, and what would happen in my life if I actually began to forgive those people that have hurt me? Listen, I know some of you immediately right now, you think there's no way I can't do that. Okay, that's a lie designed by Satan to keep you captive. Don't give in to that. Listen, let's start right here. Asking for forgiveness from those people that you have hurt, it'll set you free. And watch this. Man, if you love people, if you love them, if you want the best for them, I'm telling you, it might just open up the door for them to begin to experience some freedom as well. And then, listen, if you go and you ask somebody, or I'm sorry, if you give forgiveness to someone who has hurt you. Watch this. Some of us think we can't, but watch this. When you forgive someone that's hurt you, it does not make what they did right. It makes you free. Okay, this is one of the best analogies I've ever heard for unforgiveness, okay? When we have unforgiveness in our hearts, when we refuse to forgive, it's like we're the ones who swallowed the poison pill, but we expect the other person to die. It's gonna kill you. Okay, and God loves you and he doesn't want you to die. He wants to set you free. Okay, so here's more good news. God has given you a free will. And so you can make choices today. You can choose today to respond to evil the way that he does. I mentioned earlier that some breakthroughs happen bit by bit over time. But I also said that some breakthroughs, listen, some things that God does by giving his love and his forgiveness and his grace, those things happen immediately. So here, I'm telling you right now, listen, there are some immediate breakthroughs that you can step into today if you'll take the step of repentance and if you'll take the step to ask those who you need forgiveness from to forgive you, and if you will forgive those who've hurt you. I'm telling you, those are immediate breakthroughs. Love, peace, joy, healing, life, purpose. You can begin to experience it all just by taking those steps. So here's the question. How do you need to respond to evil today? To that, let's just start here. To the sins that we've committed and to the sin that's happened against you. How do you need to respond? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray together. With your eyes closed, with your heads bowed, let's not just, what if we just take a moment, and let's not rush this, but what if we just take a moment and we invite Jesus, search my heart. Search my heart. This is a powerful prayer, church. God, if there's anything in me that offends you, if there's anything in me that opposes you, would you reveal it to me? Asking that. Sometimes we already know what it is, but sometimes we just ask and the Lord begins to speak and he's got grace. Listen, approach it with a heart this way, because God, I don't want there to be anything in my life that would offend you or oppose you. God, I want to follow you. Hey, if he's speaking something to you right now, if he's putting something on your heart, and I would say, don't let this just be a this moment thing. What if you keep praying this today and this week? But listen, as he puts things on your heart, what if you just tell him from that sincere place in your heart, God, I'm sorry. And I ask you to forgive me. Would you forgive me? And I'm telling you, family, the answer is yes. Yes, every time. Yes, he's for you. Yes, he loves you. Yes, he's not going anywhere. Yes, he wants to help. Maybe you've asked for forgiveness for this thing 10,000 times already, but he's saying, you stick with me. We're going to get there. Yes, I forgive you. Yes, let's keep going. What about this? Our eyes closed, head bowed. Who do you need to ask for forgiveness from? Maybe there's somebody that you know just right off the top of your head. Man, after I got saved, shortly after that, I went on the Facebook apology tour. I'm not saying Facebook's the only way, but listen, I had so many people in my past life that I'd connected to in some way, and I didn't have their phone number now, or I wasn't close to them, and I just started messaging people and asking for their forgiveness. Oh, there was freedom in that. Man, so that's one thing, but what about those people that you know you're still involved in their lives? Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your kids, maybe coworkers or friends, and you need to ask for forgiveness. What if you go to them just humbly, and you don't worry about their reaction, okay? But you just submit and you say, you know what? When I did this, I know I hurt you, and I'm asking for your forgiveness. You could take that step today. Freedom, hope, life, joy, peace, purpose today in that. What if you commit right now to take those steps if God's laying somebody on your heart or you just know? And what about this finally? Listen, who do you need to forgive? Who hurt you? Who is hurting you? Who caused the pain? Who was the one who did the abusing? Your forgiveness doesn't make what they've done right. It makes you free. Well, you're saying, you're choosing. Some of you are saying right now, I don't think I can do that. But no, yes, you can. That's a lie from Satan that you can't. To the extent that we won't forgive, it's the extent that we will remain a victim of what they've done to us. Do not stay there. You can experience life and breakthrough today in this. What if today you make the firm decision, I'm going to forgive them. Maybe you, listen, only if it's safe. Maybe there's some dangerous situations I would not encourage you to go back to, but maybe you can safely go talk to somebody that has hurt you. And again, humbly, not expecting a thing, because forgiveness gives what people don't deserve. But humbly, you could say, when this happened, when you did this, this hurt me, but I want you to know I forgive you. Maybe they're gone. Maybe you have no connection with them anymore, but nonetheless, what they did is got your heart in a prison. And so maybe you can make the decision, I know you can today, where you say, you know what, I'm going to release them from this and just speak their name in your heart. And you say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive so-and-so. I forgive them for this. I'm letting it go. I'm not I'm not holding this against them anymore. They don't owe me anything. I'm telling you, if you can make that choice, and you can, Jesus overcame, and with him, you can too. I'm telling you, you can step into freedom. You can step into healing and life and peace and joy and purpose immediately. God has it for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for every prayer that's going up in this place. I thank you for every ounce of forgiveness and repentance that's taking place in this room right now. Lord, I pray for us together. Forgive us for our evil. Lord, would you forgive us for our sin? We are sorry, and we need your help. God, would you give us the heart you want us to have? Give us a brand new heart that wants to obey you, that wants to follow you. I pray there'd be freedom in this room as we turn to you today. I pray there'd be freedom more than ever this week, God. I pray as we, Lord, give us strength and wisdom as we go and ask for forgiveness from others. I pray we wouldn't wait, but that we would take that step today. And God, I pray, would you help us, Lord, that we would forgive others just as you forgive us. May that choice be made in this room rampantly. Lord, and I pray that freedom will be brought to other people's lives, those that we forgive and those that we ask for forgiveness from. I pray that you would work in their lives. And I pray that you would continue to use us and make us into the people you want us to be. Jesus, we love you. We need you. We love this town you've placed us in. We love this purpose you've called us to. We want to see Newton reborn. So have your way in and through us. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. And my whole church family said, amen. Family, I love you with all my heart. Jesus loves you too. Come on, can we thank him together today for what he's doing in this place? Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.